Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The Bucks even the NBA Finals at two games apiece after a wild comeback last night. Phoenix led by 9 in the fourth quarter, but saw the lead vanish thanks to Chris Middleton's clutch scoring and some big-time defense from Giannis. Devin Booker did drop a game-high 42 points for the Suns, but his foul trouble and Chris Paul's turnovers left the door open enough for the Bucks to get a 109-103 win. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard joining us now. Chris, what is your biggest takeaway from last night and what you saw?
Yeah, and look, I know you guys just addressed this, but for me, what stood out most was the poor play of Chris Paul. And to his credit, he took ownership of it, but he was just bad. Chris, for the first time in a long time, he looked every bit of 36 years old.
He looked old.
Yeah, he looked like that old guy trying to hang on, you know, like the game was too fast or something. Giannis, who I don't know what you guys think. I think he played a great game, great floor game. I thought he made better decisions than the point guard. Because when they built the wall and Giannis was on the perimeter, he made great passes. He made the right plays. He hits Connaughton for a big three in the corner. He hit Drew Holiday for some big plays. And then when he was inside, he didn't force it, but he scored when he could in the paint. So I thought Giannis played a great floor game, but Chris Paul struggles because Booker got no help. We know Chris Middleton was great. Devin Booker was great. And Middleton got help. Giannis was played a great game. And Drew Holiday was good, at least defensively. But on the other side, Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton. Ayton had 17 rebounds, but only 6 points. And Chris Paul had 10, but really 8 points. Because his last layup with 2 seconds left was irrelevant. For him to have 5 turnovers, guys, we know that part of Chris Paul's claim to fame as an all-time great point guard is he hardly ever turns the ball over. Like, his assist-to-turnover ratio is tremendous. So for him to make 5 turnovers, Phoenix goes on and makes 17 as a team. That gave Milwaukee a huge edge, 24-5 in points off turnovers. It was a close game. That's a huge difference right there. And the scary thing for Suns fans is that Chris now has 15 turnovers in the last 3 games. That's more than he had in the previous 2 series against the Clippers and the Nuggets combined. So is he wearing down or what? The last turnover, with 32 seconds left, to me, that looked like a turnover of stress and pressure. Like, that Drew Holiday played great defense all game. But Chris Paul's seen all the best perimeter defenders in the league over the last 15 years. So I'm not buying that Drew just was too much for him. But on that last play, Chris just stumbled, lost his balance, and then lost the ball. Like, right here, nobody's telling, he just stumbles. That looked like stress to me, pressure. Like, what? He doesn't do that. And I hate to say this, but it reminded me of going back to 2014, Oklahoma City versus the Clippers. The Clipper series tied 2 games apiece. Clippers are up 7 with 45 seconds left. Game's over. And Chris makes 2 big turnovers in the last, like, 12 seconds, 14 seconds, and fouls Russell Westbrook on a 3-pointer, and Westbrook hits all 3 free throws, and Oklahoma City wins that game and goes on to win the series. That was a meltdown for Chris Paul. And this, it wasn't as bad, but that's what it brought to my mind was It looked like a moment meltdown to me. Look, I think he'll bounce back. He better. Because one of the storylines going in to me was this is Chris's redemption. Because we all know about some of the failures in the playoffs that he's had, even if it's just injuries. But this was a chance to put all that in the back burner, and now we're highlighting your championship. Now, if he continues to play poorly and they lose this series, then his playoff struggles will be a big part of his story as we look back at his legacy.
Yeah, that's Chris Paul was god-awful. But when you look at the there's no reason the Suns should have lost this game. They shot 11 percentage points higher from the field than the Bucks. The Bucks winning the game, that's the fifth worst margin percentage-wise from the field, the minus 11 of a winning team in NBA history. That's the fifth. But let me tell you how you do that. You get 17 offensive rebounds, and you let the other team get five. You outshoot them from the free throw line plus 10. And when you do things like that and turnovers, you force the other team into 17, and you commit five. That's how you win. And when you got the guy that wants the ball in his hand, he must have the ball in his hand. It's almost like he's like, what am I going to do if I don't have the ball? He demands the ball, and he's giving it back. What it looked like to me, it didn't look like it was stress. He looked like he was old. Skip, you will remember this. I don't remember it, but I saw footage of Willie Mays stumbling in the outfield. That's what that looked like with Chris Paul right there. There was nobody around him. He didn't get tripped. He had already beat Holiday. When he stumbled and lose the ball, Holiday just reaches in and is like, thank you, grabs it and goes, takes out the other way. You can't play like this. The Bucks come out, jacket up threes, Chris. This is why I believe they're still going to lose the series. Instead of getting inside to Giannis, instead of getting inside to Brook Lopez, how do they start the game off, Chris? Three after three after three. Yep. Giannis missed two free throws. He comes down, shoots another threes, misses badly. Chris Paul is turning the ball over. So what could have been an 8, 10, 12-point ball game, Chris Paul turns the ball over, lets them stay in it, and then they get offensive rebound. Coddington has three offensive rebounds. Porters, Tucker, you got to keep them off the glass. It's not good enough to force them to miss if you're going to let them get the ball and put it back in the hoop. But this game was for the taking. The Suns should feel good going back home with a commanding 3-1 lead. And don't let anybody fool you. Now they're doubting themselves because they had an opportunity to put a stranglehold on this. They can say all they want to. Oh, we feel good. We have home court. Yeah. But the other team has the best player in this series, in Giannis, and he can win a game. You better win game five. Because if you don't win game five, you'll never come back to see a game seven in Phoenix. Mm.
So my perspective is I'm getting worn out on this show from talking about this game because it's excruciating to talk about. It's more painful by the topic to talk about the disaster this game was for a Suns team that is better than the Bucks. The Phoenix Suns are a little better than the Bucks, but they haven't consistently played better than the Bucks, especially last night. But I'm going to remind everybody that even though Chris, who's become a huge Giannis fan on this show, says he played great last night, everybody was saying, he's going to go for 40 for a third straight game. He scored 26. So you did what you needed to do without building a wall. DeAndre Ayton was credible against him. DeAndre Ayton at least made him work for his points. And nobody hustles harder than Giannis. But most of his points last night were just hustle bunnies. He gets more hustle bunnies than any player I've ever watched. Mm-hmm. But so many of them were off offensive rebounds, or I'm just going to outscrap you for this. I'm going to tip it in. I'm going to lay it in off the glass. But overall, Ayton did not a good job, but a great job of containing and controlling Giannis. He didn't go crazy on them. He did not take that game over because that game was there for the taking. Phoenix was up 9 early in the fourth quarter, and then they were still up 5 with 5:30 left, and they gave up a 19-8 run to end the game that is mind-blowing to me. And Obviously, it featured the Chris Paul turnovers, and we've beaten those to death. Not only with 32 seconds left did he turn it over, he palmed it. Outrageous palm they should have called, because there are certain things you can get away with. He actually scooped up the ball with his left hand and then turned it completely over to get it to his right and couldn't control it and lost it on an unforced error. He just lost the handle on the basketball with a chance to feed Devin Booker, who obviously had the hottest hand on the floor, to tie the game at that point with 32 seconds left. I thought they were going to tie it. I thought they were going to win it. I predicted yesterday they would steal game four and that Devin Booker would hit the last second jump shot to win it. And I thought they were in perfect position to pull that off until Chris's turnover. And both of his fourth quarter turnovers led to quick runouts and easy baskets at the other end. Well, to Shannon's point, if you're going to give up 17 offensive rebounds and 17 turnovers, well, on the road, you're going to lose. But now I'm back to Devin Booker. I love this kid. I've said he's going to win an MVP before he's finished in this league. And yet, what is he thinking? He's it last night. They're going to sink or swim on Devin Booker. And what does he do with 10:50 left, if we could see this? He's got four fouls, and he dares to try to just ram Tuck out of bounds to block him out, to keep him from getting another offensive rebound. You can't do that with four fouls when you're it. You're the only guy who's going to save the day for the Phoenix Suns. And he got an obvious fifth foul. And he has to go sit for 5 minutes. I thought Monty sat him for too long, but he sat him for five, and they still were clinging to a small lead when he came back in. And then what does he do again with 3:41 left? He tries to wrap up Holiday on a drive shot, and it's a blatant sixth foul. It's just like, did he think he only had two fouls at that point, and I got one to give here? I'm going to do it. I'm just going to take a foul here to send him to the free throw line. Well, obviously, the ref said after the game they missed that one, and they missed it badly. They thought he got all ball, and he got all arms. And so at that point, with 3:41 left, Phoenix didn't deserve to win the game. He should have been gone, and their whole chances should have been gone anyway.
Chris, the NBA.
Yeah, what's that?
The NBA is really happy the Bucks won this game.
Yeah, I agree.
Can you imagine the outcry, been, Chris Broussard, if Booker commits that?
Absolutely.
And they don't call it, and they go on and win the ball game? Ooh! But he left.
It ended up
going the way it should have.
Yeah, it did. Phoenix did not deserve to win the game.
Go ahead, Chris.
And that's why, you know, people wonder, well, who had the better game, Devin Booker or Chris Middleton? And think about it, guys. We just talked for 10 minutes about the game. We have yet to mention Chris Middleton, who scored 40 points.
40 points.
Chris Middleton, if his game had more pizzazz, if his personality had more pizzazz, he was more in your face, more outgoing, I think we'd be talking about him in a whole different
Absolutely.
Light. I'm not saying he'd be a superstar, right? But he is inconsistent. He's probably too inconsistent to really be considered a superstar. But we'd certainly be considering him a big star, and he'd be a perennial all-star. Like, every year he's got to make the team no matter what. And maybe that'll happen going forward, especially if they win the series. But this dude is legit. And maybe his understated personality, maybe that's the perfect sidekick for Giannis.
Yes.
Because that allows Giannis to have all the, you know, Giannis is the man. He's the superstar. And there, even if Chris is the closer, and like last night, he scores 10 straight points in the last 2 minutes.
He did.
We still, there's no battle. Oh, is this Middleton's team? Is he?
No.
We understand. Skip might disagree. But we understand it's Giannis's team.
Yes.
And so maybe Giannis that's a team. Perfect fit for those guys.
And Giannis is the best player. But Giannis does a great job. If Giannis needs to get him to the fourth quarter. Because come fourth quarter, that's Chris Middleton time. I look at Chris Middleton like chicken breast. He's great. But I'm not going to a five-star restaurant and ordering it. I'm getting something with a little bit more pizzazz if I go out to a nice restaurant. Chris Middleton is chicken breast. He's really good, but I ain't ordering him when I go out to eat with somebody.
Hey, I'm just saying. I eat chicken breast every single meal, so yeah, I guess I'm boring.
Skip, but you're at home. You ain't going to no nice restaurant and order chicken breast. Ernestine's not going to let you do that.
She might not. But hey, back to Chris's point about Chris Middleton. We don't mention him because he's not even discussable. He's just so boring. He's more boring than I am. What's there to talk about? I don't know. But he's great. He's their closer.
We saw him in Game 7.
Yeah.
We saw him when Giannis was out, and he had that 20-point quarter or 23-point quarter. He is the closer. Giannis gets him to the fourth, 5 minutes to go in the ball game. If Giannis doesn't touch it anymore, I'm fine with that. Let Chris Middleton do his work from there.
Well, he wasn't boring last night. We could say that. Skip, you're not boring. Chicken breast, though, a little bit boring for every meal, I have to say. I would get sick of that.
No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this: crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew, ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Giannis's biggest contribution in last night's win came at the defensive end, with the Bucks clinging to a 2-point lead with just over a minute to play. The Greek Freak blocked a DeAndre Ayton alley-oop attempt that would have tied the game. Oh, let's watch that again. Afterwards, his teammate Pat Connaughton didn't mince words, saying, quote, "It's the best block of all time." Obviously, we're a little biased, and you could talk about the LeBron block as well. But as far as a block where he was covering the pick and roll, it's about as impressive as you can get. Chris Broussard still with us. Chris, please rate this block on a scale of 1 to 10. What'd you think of it?
Well, Connaughton went a little bit too far. I would say it's the second best block in NBA Finals history, of course, after LeBron's. LeBron's, I'm giving a 10. Giannis's, I'm giving a 9. I think everything that makes Giannis great was on display on that play. Skip just said it last segment. He's a hustler, right? He gets all types of hustle plays. Giannis even described this after the game as a hustle play. Like, he didn't give up on the play when a lot of people would have. And he ends up making a huge defensive block. Also, his intelligence. So he said at post-game, he says, "I saw the play coming." Because he's kind of stopping Devin Booker from getting to the hole. And Booker, he said, once Booker goes, puts it in his hand, he knows he's passing it because he's too far away from the basket for a layup. So now he understands, "I'm too far gone." So he sees it coming. So his intelligence was on display. And then, guys, he says, I knew I was too far gone, so I couldn't block the ball. I couldn't go at the ball, so I just jumped to put my hand in front of the rim. I mean, that's a lot of thinking going on in that split second. So he does, that's his intelligence is on display. His agility and athleticism and length is on display because most guys in the league, they can't get to that spot. They can't go from stopping the driver to protecting the rim in one motion like Giannis did. And then his strength. Remember, look, Ayton's going up with two hands. Giannis is going up with one. And he stops Ayton from dunking the ball with the one hand. A lot of times a guy might have enough strength to still dunk it over
power
you.
Through.
If Giannis had just been able to commit a foul, that would have been a good play. Like, if he fouls him and he doesn't make the basket, because Ayton's a 69% free throw shooter in these playoffs, that would have been a good play. They were up two. But for him to be able to block it, man, tremendous. And I just love it. I think it shows a lot of guys, they scored 40 points the first two games or the last two games, and people are talking about, can they do it again like Michael Jordan? He wasn't having that type of night, but he wasn't all in his feelings. He wasn't focused on that end of the floor. He was focused on whatever it took to win the game. And that block was incredible. So I give it a 9.
Chris, I gave it a 10 for all the reasons that you mentioned, because he's playing the pick and roll. He was able to stop and force Devin Booker to pick up his dribble, throw the lob, and all in one motion, he drop step, turns and faces and blocks DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton is 7 foot tall. He's at least a foot over the basket. And so in one motion, I shut off the pick. I get to the roller. Because, Skip, if he's not there, if Giannis does not show, Booker's just going to get all the way to the rim, or he's going to shoot that little 10-footer. But because he sees Giannis, and he knows, well, Giannis was supposed to be on DeAndre Ayton, there's no possible way he can get back and defend this lob dunk I got for him. He throws it, and Giannis drop steps and goes and sees, like, I got to go right now, and he blocks it. I believe the only other guy that possibly could have made that play is Anthony Davis, because he's extremely long. He does a great job of playing the pick and roll, and he's a great rim protector. But Jokic is not making that play. Joel Embiid is not making that play. None of the other bigs are making that play. Until I see, I'm sure there's some footage if we were to go back through the archives and look at all AD's games. But I know Giannis can make it because I just saw it with my own two eyes. And I was upset, Chris, because they wouldn't replay it. He fouled it. He had to have fouled it. There's no way you're blocking a 7-foot lob dunk without fouling him. And he didn't. So I gave him a 10. And you can't convince me otherwise, Skip Bayless.
You know, you guys, you amuse me. I'm highly entertained by both of you overreacting to what we saw last night. And I have just one quick question for my man, Chris Broussard. Do you have some Greek back in your heritage I'm not aware of? Because I don't know, you become Giannis's biggest fan. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He ate Greek yogurt this morning.
I love
Greek yogurt.
The way he played last night.
Okay. I'm going to give this on a scale of 1 to 10, the block. I'm going to give it a 4. I was going to give it a 3, but just because it was so timely, and you can argue so clutch, that it did, quote unquote, save the game, at least for a moment. Who knows what would have happened the rest of the game the way it was going. But I'll go up to a 4 because on just pure execution, it's completely predictable. It's obvious. It's a duh. It's, for Giannis, a very easy block to pull off because of the way the play unfolded. So he's showing a little bit on Devin Booker,
yes,
but he's not going to be able to block Book's shot. If Book just said, I got this, I'm going to go up strong and I'm going to shoot a 9-foot jump shot, Giannis is not going to get there to block it, but he showed a little bit. But then, to his credit, he's just watching Book's eyes, and Devin looks across the lane and locks eyes with DeAndre Ayton, obviously Giannis's man, and completely telegraphs the lob. And not only does he telegraph it, because he's no CP3, but he throws a poor lob way too far and way too high for DeAndre Ayton, who then has to bend backward to catch it, loses all his momentum and all of his leverage. So he's, if you look again, he's leaning backward when he catches the ball at its apex, when he high points it, and it gives Giannis plenty of time to catch up and explode, running with a running start up into the basketball and meet him at the apex. All the leverage, all the momentum belongs to Giannis at that point because he's got basketball in his sights. And he times it perfectly where he's arriving just as Ayton is getting both hands on the basketball, bending backward. What do you think is going to happen? It's going to be as easy a block as Giannis ever had because Ayton is dead to rights. There's nowhere to go with the basketball except right into Giannis's right hand. If he'd had the wherewithal, if he'd had the perspective, maybe Ayton would have given up on the lob dunk, and maybe he would have just said, whoops, I got to spin out of this and go back to the floor, because Giannis would have just run right past him, and then he could have gone back up and dunked it. But that's a lot to ask of a still very young DeAndre Ayton, so I'm not going there. But the point was, it was a great hustle play, as Giannis said after the game. It was just a hustle play. Once he saw the telegraph lob pass, he just turns and he bolts across the lane. And all the advantage belongs to Giannis. He's got a running start. He's as explosive a 6 foot 11 inch leaper as we have in the league. So it's a really easy block for him because he can outjump DeAndre Ayton, who's stuck with an awkward lob pass. And he did what he should have done, what he predictably did do. He blocked it. And the world is saying that's the greatest block ever. Stop it.
Skip, how many guys you believe can go meet another guy at the top, right, at the top?
Okay.
How many guys?
Where?
Okay. At the top of the square.
Well, he did that, but for him, that's an easy block to me.
But that's my thing, though.
Given the equipment he has that he was blessed with, yeah, that's an easy block.
But here's the thing, Skip. He has to force Devin Booker to pick up his dribble and not to take the jumper. So he has to show enough so Book feels that he's going to challenge me on the jump shot and I can't get to the rim. So he has to do that. And then all in one motion, when Book throws the lob, he has to drop step and turn immediately. He's just going to a point. He right. might not be there, but he has to go to that point and meet him. He's like, oh, because DeAndre Ayton was headed to the penthouse. But little did he know that Giannis has a penthouse on top of his penthouse and pushed the button and sent him back down.
Ayton was headed to the penthouse with a great lob, but it was off target, long and high. If the lob had been at the rim, we might have had a collision at the rim, and at least Ayton would have been going to the free throw line. But this way, he's bending backward. He's at a complete disadvantage here. It was complete advantage, Giannis. And to his credit, he went ahead and executed the predictable block.
No, but Skip, the pass wasn't perfect, but it wasn't horrible either. Ayton would have finished that play if he was alone or if just about any other player in the league was there.
Correct.
He would have finished that play. So that's not what stopped him from making it. It was Giannis. And like Shannon said, he met him at the top of the square. So everything you described, you act like that's simple to do. That's like saying, what's the big deal about Usain Bolt? All he does is run. Well, he does it faster than everybody else. I mean, Giannis, maybe, as Shannon said, maybe Anthony Davis could have made that play.
Okay.
Maybe.
I'm going to show this one more time for Chris's edification. Last year against Denver in the bubble, I want to show you a Kawhi Leonard block. This is a man's block. This is where you go straight up at the rim with the wrong hand, left-handed, on Jamal Murray, who has a full head of steam and tries to throw it right down your throat. And Kawhi blocks it with the middle finger of his left hand. Well, it's all advantage Jamal at that point. He's got the running start. He's got all the momentum. He's got the force behind him. And Kawhi just goes flat-footed, straight up, and blocked it. That's a great block to me. That's hard. That's high degree of difficulty.
And guess what, Chris? I just looked it up. They list Jamal Murray's height at 6'3", which means he's actually 6'2", trying to dump on a 6'7". Skip, I just looked it up.
Oh, stop it.
I just looked it up.
Okay, Kawhi might be 6'6".
That's the thing, Skip.
Oh, my God. Not Kawhi.
This is 7-footer. Giannis was 7-footer on 7-footer.
Yes.
Yes, a nice block. It's a great block by Kawhi. But come on, he's blocking a two-guard who's
he's
the
doing
size
it
of
flat-footed.
A point guard.
He doesn't have a running start like Giannis did last night.
Giannis wasn't running. He took a step.
No, he launched.
He took a step.
He dropped. Look at this, Skip. He dropped steps and goes straight up.
Okay, that's what he does. We know he can jump out of the gym at 6'11". But by the way,
he didn't have time to
gather himself. I have to correct Chris on one other thing. He's saying that LeBron's block in 2015 was a 10. I mean, J.R. Smith deserves five of it then, so it must be 5 and 5 because J.R. Smith cuts off Iguodala at the pass, runs underneath him, and slows him up where he has to double clutch and lay it up off the glass instead of dunking it, and LeBron has time to catch up and chase down and blindside block it, sneak attack. Is that a great block to you?
Yes. Because he went over both
hands. Here's the thing, Skip. Yep. And you know that if the ball hits the backboard first, it's goaltending, right? If it hit the backboard before LeBron blocked it, it would have been goaltending. What LeBron have, an inch? A centimeter? Inch. What? Well, yeah. I mean, the timing on that was spectacular.
Oh, God.
Come on.
James, it was lucky.
Game seven. They had to score. Nobody can score the basketball. Yeah. And if the first team to score is the team that's going to win.
Oh.
And LeBron says, not on my watch.
Wait a
not
second.
On my watch.
I thought Kyrie Irving hit the last shot to win that game. Right?
That's what I said. The first team
nice
to score.
Shot.
The first team to score was going to be the team that win. And Iggy had the first opportunity. And LeBron says, not on my watch.
Mm, okay.
They call him the watchman because he sees all.
Yeah,
that's what they call him.
Yeah, I've never heard that.
No mercy.